let's bring the court to order, please. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer to give the opening prayer this morning? Go.
Dear God, we appreciate the fact that you are the grand architect of the universe. Please help us to understand your will and to achieve your will. Please help us to enjoy the holiday season and to remember that we are celebrating the birth of your Son. Please help us to help those who are experiencing sickness and distress. Please help our friend, Judge Craig Doyle, and his family as they are suffering through a very difficult time period. In the name of your only Son, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You'll join me in the pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Let the record reflect that all members of court are present. And commissioners, would entertain a motion to approve our court agenda this morning.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Under proclamations and resolutions, we have our Montgomery County United Way presentation. And Melda Blair is here again with Sylvia. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, commissioners.
And Harris.
Okay. That time of year again. Commissioner Riley is our chairperson for this year's Montgomery County United Way. And Commissioner, thank you for stepping up and taking over the job. Do you have anything you want
to
say?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everybody who participated this year. I think we had a decent year. It might have been a little off because of all the incidents we've had with the hurricane and the two spring rain events from last year. So it may have been down just a little bit, but I know we did a great job, and I know everybody did a great job, and I just want to thank everybody for participating.
Thank you.
And thank you, Sylvia. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Well done.
I'd like to introduce some people from United Way that help us get this going. Judy Foster, who is the manager of Community Impact, United Way. Come on up, Judy. And Tom Scott, senior relationship manager, United Way. And John, don't know your last name, it's Muse. That's good. He's helping out United Way. He's a loan executive with Exxon.
Yes.
So we appreciate the help. Do y'all have anything you want to say?
We just want to thank everyone for their generosity of spirit. It means a lot to the agencies, the 19 agencies that United Way funds in Montgomery County and the 39 programs that are helping the citizens in our county.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. We'll tell you that the contributions this year from employees, including a chili cook-off on the courthouse steps, we had commissioners and come out there and cook chili, and people gave a donation, and that raised for the chili $615.51. So with the donations from county employees, we raised this year $34,903.01. We appreciate that. I would like to introduce the team members that I called on and said, can you help me out and get the packets out to the department? And as I call your name, please come up. We have Lauren Lovelady with the purchasing department. She did come in, right? No. Okay. Bill Metter with building maintenance. They're not coming up, are they?
No.
I called them. Okay. Claudette Evans with juvenile probation. Jerry Williams, library director. Brandy Lopez from Justice of the Peace, Precinct 1. Lorena Garcia, director of custodial services. Jean DeForest, constable, Precinct 2. Gwen Wilson and Miranda Haas, Homeland Security, Office of Emergency Management. And then the team members that helped out also but were not able to come. James Roby with Commissioner Clark's Office, Precinct 4. Kim Schuschler with the Sheriff's Department. And Melissa Baker with the library. Thank you all for being here, and thank you all for your help. I really, truly appreciate stepping up to the plate to help us out with this. Okay. There's not many here, but let's get a photo anyway, team members.
Billy, you want their certificates?
Oh, did you bring?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I forgot. There are certificates.
By the way, Lorena, congratulations on Department of the Year.
Thank you.
Well done. Photo bomb them, yeah.
Try to get out of there.
Can I get one more on that side?
Thank you. Okay, so the next thing we have, I'm sorry for the delay, is the traveling trophies. And these trophies are awarded to the county departments that had an increase in donations and overall participation. So for a county department that had 10 or less employees, the trophy goes to community supervision. Stand here with, yeah. Okay, for a county department of 11 to 25 employees, the trophy goes to Constable Precinct 2.
They just left.
He was just here.
They just walked out.
Okay. All right, for a county department of 26 to 50 employees, the trophy goes to Information Technology, IT. And for a county department with 51 or more employees, this year the trophy goes to our county library. Okay, so...
Yeah, that works out for you.
Bad idea.
Okay, now here comes the fun part. Okay, so Jim and Nelda Blair, longtime standing and respected people of the community, have once again offered to provide incentive to our employees by they themselves donating dollars for drawings. So this is an incentive for our county employees to donate to United Way and then in turn around and maybe get a few bucks out of it too. There's five drawings. Commissioner Riley, do you want to join in with the drawing
sure.
here? Or announcing the name?
How long, when did y'all start this, Nelda?
We were discussing that, Commissioner Metter. Commissioner Ed Chance was the first one to ask us to do this.
20 years ago?
20 years ago, maybe, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but it's a great fun. We get to put on a Santa hat and come to court. So.
Well, I don't think our collections would be anywhere close to what they are without y'all's help.
Thank you very much for all these years.
We've had pies in the face and pigs kissed and everything else.
Cash.
Right.
And it goes to what the person that you get there.
Any employee who pledged a minimum of $1 every payroll period.
They're all in here. Commissioner's going to draw one.
Couldn't make it any littler than that.
I know.
Patty O'Hagan.
With
County Attorney.
County Attorney's Office.
Yay.
All right.
You going to give that to JD? Smart girl. Okay, next one is $100. This one is $100, and it's...
This is for any employee who pledged a minimum of $2 every pay period.
David Lacaze?
Lacaze.
From the library.
Memorial Library.
All right.
Hey, good.
I knew I'd get a name up here before.
This one's 300.
Okay, this is for any employee who pledged a minimum of $4 per pay period.
That's good.
Linda Brown, Constable Precinct 2.
Right.
All right, this is for a $500 cash drawing, and it's...
Any employee who pledged a minimum of $5 per pay period.
Sarah Wedd. WEDD Law Library.
All right.
All right. And the final one is $1,000 cash drawing for
any employee who pledged a minimum of $6 per pay period.
Single word.
Mike Metter.
You gotta be kidding. After 20 years. Thank y'all very much.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Judy, for making sure that United Way funds are kept here in Montgomery County. We appreciate the effort there.
Commissioner Ryan, a great job.
Great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet.
Good job, Commissioner.
Did good on the drawing.
All right. We have one citizen signed up to speak on item 7B, Mr. Yollett.
Judge Doyle and Commissioners, I noticed that there is a proclamation today called 2017 Making a Difference, and there's no backup for it except that there was a notice about a little event that y'all had this morning. And so I want to make a just very quick suggestion on how we could proclaim that we are making a difference in Montgomery County, and it does happen to be today's Golden Hammer Award, but the critical point is this. My interpretation of how we can make a difference more than anything else is that this county already has a code of ethics that we've started on. But there are two things that should be in that code of ethics. Number one is there should be an absolute no tolerance whatsoever for sexual harassment within the Montgomery County government. And number two, under no circumstances whatsoever should taxpayers ever have to pay for sexual harassment or even an allegation of sexual harassment by a county employee. That county employee should be responsible for that payment himself. Because of what happened in 2014, the Golden Hammer Award goes to the two people who are still on this commissioner's court who are responsible for the fact that the taxpayers had to pay $45,000 for Judge Metz's sexual harassment situation, and they are County Judge Craig Doyle and Commissioner Mike Metter. Anyway, I want to congratulate you on receiving the Golden Hammer. And let's make a difference.
All right. We have our item 7B, 2017 Making a Difference Proclamation.
Thank you, gentlemen. We are honored to be here today. Through Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, we do believe we make a difference in Montgomery County and the education that we provide for citizens of our community and all throughout the state of Texas. So we always enjoy having the opportunity to come up here and share with you a little bit about the results of what we've been doing and the return on the investment that you've made in us. So my name is Amy Russler, and I'm County Extension Agent for Family and Community Health. And actually, that's a new title, and that is just kind of a minor adjustment to really focus on the idea that we are trying to help Texans make their lives healthier as well as better. So we are pleased to be here. It's been a great year. We've done lots of wonderful things. We've got two new employees this year in the family and community health area. We hired Mike McBride back in April, and he has hit the ground running. He's been really helpful in managing our Families Reading Every Day project, and I wanted him to share a little bit about that.
Good morning. Families Reading Every Day has included about 350 families at two Head Starts and one Early Head Start program here in the county. Statistically significant increases occurred in the amount of time parents spent reading with their children, the number of books read, and the level of parental involvement in their children's education. The program has remained consistently popular as well as effective through the years. To better serve the families, we are working with folks at College Station to update the materials and provide a fresh and new take for future participants. I've also assisted with several other programs that will be reported on here shortly, and have enjoyed making community connections with Eagle's Nest Ministries and with Camelot Pines residents. I look forward to expanding the connections and further extending the outreach of the extension programs in our rapidly growing community. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Bye.
And we are also very fortunate to have two positions here in Montgomery County that are federally funded through a special program that's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program Education to provide nutrition education for our low-income families. And again, those are funded completely with federal dollars, so it's a benefit to Montgomery County without much cost. So we have Priscilla Chacon. She's our newest employee that she's just been with us a couple of months. And then we also have Michelle Scaife, who has been with us for a couple of years. So I wanted them to let you know a little bit about what they're doing.
Good morning.
Good
morning. My name is Michelle. This year, 157 adult programs were delivered and 247 youth programs, including Learn, Grow, Eat, Go, which is a project that was folded into the BLT enrichment program to reach schools and preschool programming. The adult programs include A Fresh Start to a Healthier You, Step Up the Scale Down, Growing and Nourishing Healthy Families, and Walk and Talk, which is a portion of Walk Across Texas. Additionally, various single educational events are offered to meet the needs of the families and targeted audiences in our community. It's been my pleasure to work this year with a lot of military veterans and their families, and as a result of that, see them build, plant, and harvest their own gardens in their own backyard, and not only enjoy that healthy, fresh food, but share it with their families.
Morning.
Morning.
Over 2,800 educational contacts
resulting in more than 73,000 contact hours were made in the fiscal year of 2017. About 521 people completed one of the BLT lesson series that Michelle just mentioned, resulting in significant increases in basic nutrition and food safety knowledge and practice. I'm new to this position. I just started in October, and so far what has impressed me most about the program is the different educational classes that Family Consumers Health has offered the Montgomery County.
Now, just a couple of other things I wanted to let you know about that we're doing in family and community health. We have our On the Road to Healthy Living Mobile Cooking School, and that's actually received national recognition this year. It was recognized as the best program for family health and wellness, and then the instructor's guide that was produced to go along with that is the best educational piece in the nation as well. So that's pretty exciting. I was able to educate 80 educators throughout the nation about how to do the program. So our program here in Montgomery County has become a model for the nation, which is very exciting. Locally, we've had 15 classes and 253 participants participate, and surveys show that participants' perception of cooking as too much work has decreased. Their confidence in preparing meals that follow the USDA's My Plate and their understanding of proper food temperatures for food safety have increased. And then, of course, back in July, we were able to come and share with you a little bit about our Walk Across Texas program that is helping people increase their physical activity to lead healthier lives. And so in Montgomery County, we had 822 people participating on 100 teams with a total of 174,000 participated, and that was actually an economic impact of over $7 million when we look at future health care costs of type 2 diabetes and reducing work absences. So it's been a wonderful event here in Montgomery County that's helped people live healthier lives. And so I just want to say again that we appreciate your support of Extension, especially of Family Consumer Sciences and Family Community Health. We're honored to work here and to make a difference in helping Texans make their lives better. So now I'd like to turn it over to my coworkers to tell you about some of the other things that we do.
Michelle Mahalik, I'm the County Extension Agent for the 4-H program here in Montgomery County, and honored to be working in Montgomery County. We are extremely blessed by the support from the Commissioner's Court and from our community. When we come and visit with you in September with our 4-H kids, we talk a lot about what the kids have won, what they've accomplished. I would like to share with you today some of the things that the kids have accomplished in giving back to the community. Just a handful of projects that were reported included 478 participants, provided 925 hours of service to our community, $2,538. They collected 4,600 items, and they impacted at least 458 people. And that was service to a variety of groups and services, including Conroe Kids Fest, the East Texas Dream Center, Backpacks for Honduras, 225 backpacks to send to Honduras to help with supplies there, the Montgomery County Animal Shelter, Montgomery County Food Bank, Montgomery County Homeless, and Montgomery County Youth Services, in addition to Responsible Dog Ownership Day and Soldiers and the Texas Children's Hospital. So the thing to keep in mind with these numbers is this is only 6 clubs that took the time to report their activities to me so I could pull this together for you. We have 25 clubs in the county. So our 4-H members are out there and doing lots of service for a variety of Montgomery County things and their community and their world. And Caroline has some additional information just about the Harvey supplies.
Good morning. My name is Caroline Cruz, and I'm your County Extension Agent, Urban Youth Development with the 4-H Youth Program. And like Michelle mentioned, we were just here recently to give you updates of our County 4-H program. So specifically related to relief efforts for Hurricane Harvey, we've asked for these reports from clubs. Some are still trying to get caught up in what they're doing right now. So what we have from just two of our 4-H clubs, they're reporting 175 hours with approximately 30 to 35 members, youth, and their parents that helped in cleanup efforts with Hurricane Harvey. We do have, just like everyone else, you know, we do have 4-H families that were personally affected, so they had the great support system of their own 4-H club members to help and step in with that relief. A little bit more specifically, we've been doing some service projects. One of our young 4-H members is very active in clothing and textiles and sewing projects, and so I worked with her to get some activities going, and what the decision was made was to help out other 4-H members that live within our district, so all the way down to Galveston, over to Jefferson County, to the Beaumont area, that were hit really hard as well. A few 4-H members got together and sewed tote bags to fill with sewing supplies to then give to those other 4-H members that maybe lost their supplies or their project materials. You know, first we think of, where are we going to live? How are we going to go to school and work? You don't really think about those things as things that you need right away, but for a family, especially for a child, to start to feel like life is getting back to normal, those things are really important to them. So we were able to make, with those 4-H members, they hand-sewed 16 bags, and with that, we were able to donate those. Those went to Jefferson, Chambers, Liberty, and to Brazoria County. We also had some donations from a company in New York. Actually, she's the daughter of a master gardener here in our county, and she heard about the project that we were doing, and so they sent about $500 worth of fabric materials and sewing supplies that are also going to be donated to 4-H members that are in our district. So that just is a little tiny snippet of what some of our 4-H members have done. And again, we just thank you for your support over the years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioners, Caroline's going to be leaving us. She's going to the Forest Service Monday, I guess, is your last day. So congratulations.
I read the letter. Sorry to hear that.
Thank you for your support.
Good luck to you, Judge, Commissioners. I'm Michael Potter. I'm the horticulture agent here in Montgomery County. This is my coordinator, Kim Pierce.
Good morning.
We have a very large Master Gardener Association. As you heard, it spreads kind of even out of the state sometimes. Most of my coworkers from other counties, when they ask how many Master Gardeners I have, they run. They wouldn't even attempt to manage 361 volunteers. I take it on as a challenge, and I love every single one of them just for what they do in our county. They've accomplished about 42,362 hours this past year, and that alone is over $1 million worth.
40,000?
42,000.
Wow.
Yes, sir. We had a new class come through. We had 48 people graduate from that class, and that alone, just to get to be a Master Gardener, they put in about 5,000 hours themselves. And so, it's something that we do. We educate the community. That's the whole process of the Master Gardener program, is to teach our volunteers to get out there and spread the word of what we put out there, which is education, research-based material. I mean, how many of you have had problems with your lawns this year? There you go. We've had over 3,500 phone calls this year alone on questions coming into our phone room. 900-plus people walking in with questions and bringing in their turf grass pieces and things like that, of that nature. But I wanted to be brief, and I just wanted to let you know, thank you for your support for our program, and we'll continue on doing what we're doing. We're all over the county now, so appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good morning, members of the court. Thank you for allowing us to take a minute of your time to report back to you. And I think it's critical that we let you know what's going on. I hope that you hear from your constituents and your clientele that, you know, we're out there making a difference and visiting with folks. And again, the ag side there, we're visiting with lots of landowners. The pesticide management is still a critical part of our program, working with landowners, making sure that they're utilizing products safely and according to label. And we provide a lot of educational programs to meet those needs. And a lot of them are formal programs, a lot of them are individual. So, you know, we've got over 25,000 contacts we've made in just this program area itself this year in that one area. So And we've got another program Thursday of this week offering 5 more hours of credit. And the unique thing about this one, that program will be broadcast or actually held here in the county, but we're actually going to broadcast out to other 18 counties in Montgomery, in the southeast Texas area, so they'll be able to benefit the program that we're actually conducting in our office. But again, our planning process, we've talked about the youth, the volunteers that are involved with the program. The planning process, we utilize our volunteers to help identify needs. Just to want a quick example is our Animal Issues Committee. I know that you guys are aware of that committee. The governor set it up several years ago. It's off, you know, it's held or operated under the leadership of the county judge. And we're, again, looking at a volunteer committee. We actually met as a planning committee reviewing our plan, updating on August the 17th. A week later, we implemented the plan. And we're able to utilize a lot of volunteers and handle lots of animals at the fairgrounds and then manage a lot of foodstuffs and supply materials to other parts of the area. So, again, the program that the extension operates under seems to work, and we really appreciate your support in helping us get that job done. And Commissioner Metter, again, thank you a lot for your individual leadership in helping us keep our office productive and a safe place for folks to operate out of. One other mention, Dr. Dale Fritz has been our district director for 23 years. I think each of you received a note that he is actually retiring the end of this month. We've got a reception for him at our office next Monday from 10 to 12, and if you guys are able to come by, I know he would really appreciate getting a chance to say goodbye to you guys and visit. And again, he wants to thank you for all the support that you've provided us over the years. So we thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, to each and every one of you at the Extension office, thank you for making a positive difference.
We try.
Very much appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Very much appreciate it.
I'd like to comment on one thing. I was at a seminar up in North Texas, 4 hours north of here in Mount Pleasant, Texas, and I walked in, had my name badge on, and he said, "You're from Montgomery County?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Y'all got the greatest Extension office in the whole state." I said, whenever we need to look to something or need an answer, y'all are the people we go to, and you've got the greatest master gardener program in the whole state. So,
exactly, we're proud of it.
Thank y'all for what you do.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Folks to make it happen.
Yep, thank you.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay, commissioners, under county clerk, we need a motion to approve our minutes from our regular session dated November 28th.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, under the consent agenda, I have several items that need to be moved to the open agenda. Item 9D3, number one, bullet point number one on page 3. Item 9I1 on page 7. Item 9I3 on page 7. Item 9I4 on page 8. Item 9L2 on page 9. And item 9Q1 on page 10.
Page 10?
Page 10.
What was that number again? Oh, Q1.
9Q1 on page 10. It's part of why we have our pre-agenda meetings, to try to identify these as much as we can. Some of them slip through, so these items are to be moved to the open. Would we entertain a motion on the approval of our consent agenda with the exception of these items?
Move.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? Any other items need to be moved forward? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, on page 3, item 9D3, bullet point 1.
Yes, Judge, my brother works for Carrier. I have the form filed with the county. I just want to make that notice and abstain from the vote on that particular item.
Okay.
I move.
Second.
Motion is second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No, I want to add, though, that he also doesn't do any work in Montgomery County, but it's a large corporation. He works there, and I'd just like to make that clear.
Motion passes with one abstention.
Thank
okay,
you, Judge.
On page 7, 9I1.
I also had a question about this. Just as we mentioned during Harvey, when the county has an event like that and the commissioners or other departments have a need, they have to purchase this either out of their own funds or out of their campaign funds or some other way or have them donated. So I just wanted to remind the court that we need to do something make it. If we're gonna allow for the Historical Society to do this, we need to be able to take care of our own employees as well. So
yeah, we'll
I don't know if the county attorney can get something put together. I understand that this is
We talked about that once before. We need to.
We're gonna a policy for training and for food and
mm-hmm.
beverages when we actually are the people conducting the training. Okay.
Okay.
Or for an emergency situation.
Or
yeah.
Disaster situation.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Like
can you put something together for us, Amy?
Sure.
Okay.
I think the authorization for the court to do it is a little bit different, being the Historical Commission under 318 of the Local Government Code. So they have to run these
through your court. Okay.
Yeah. And it's discretionary at the court. It's not, you don't have to pay them, but you may.
Have we done that in the past?
I think this is a training program that we did, and it's authorized under. Yeah, it's authorized under statute that
okay.
we conduct, that we are able to conduct these. So there's a difference between a mandate and an authorization, and we did it. It's one of their purposes. There's a whole code section on education of related to historical issues that would allow you to pay it if you so chose.
Okay. So is there a motion to approve
this? I move we pay.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Same page, page 7, item 9I3.
And, Judge, I had a question on why this is required to go through court and why do we have to approve this? It's not an expenditure that's made by the county other than us having a contract between the two facilities.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need for us to have to approve it.
A unilateral.
Well, it is unilateral funding. It is still our contract. And unless it's passed through court, there would be no official record of the county receiving this increased funding or this funding in this tranche, so to speak. So I think it at least needs to be recorded. Like sometimes we do send back documents that we may execute the agreement to begin with, and then it goes to TxDOT, and then we bring back the fully signed document. We say accept and record.
Yeah, can it be consider and accept then instead of consider and approve?
Certainly.
Sure.
I think that'd make more sense. I mean, I don't know anything about the expenditure. I can't really approve it. I don't know it's required.
So it's a pass-through for the Joe Corley.
It's a pass-through for the Joe Corley, and it is based upon the way the federal funding is coming the last couple of years. They aren't funding it all in one block. They're funding it as the funds become available at the federal level, and so that's why they write it this way.
And these specific amendment is for bed space and transportation.
I move.
Do we need to change the wording from approval
to consider and accept?
To accept.
Yes, or the minutes will reflect that you accept it.
Okay.
I move.
Motion. And a second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
And I'll try to catch that on future, if we have future funding obligations like this that are passed through, that
okay.
we know that
we
in
can just accept them
in the agenda.
Yeah. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, page 8.
And Judge, if we could just defer this, and I'm trying to reach out to the requesting party on this.
Okay. We'll defer item 9I4. On page 9, item 9L2.
That's County Attorney Lambright.
PD. This is consider and approve the resolution order on 9L2.
Yeah, this is
for the litigation.
Settlement of a claim, and there was no settlement paperwork. It was a resolution in order to defend the claim.
The 9L2 relates from a traffic accident where a sheriff vehicle, a leased vehicle from leased by the sheriff's department, rear-ended, and this is a property damage claim with the rental car company.
So you don't need authorization to settle it. You need authorization to defend it?
9L2.
9L2.
Okay.
Consider and approve resolution in order to settle claim.
Yes, 9L2, excuse me, is not the same as 9L1. Well, let me get to it if you don't mind. 9L1 is a new resolution order to defend a claim. I believe it's a 1983 action filed in federal court. 9L2 has not resulted in a lawsuit. At this point, it is a settlement of a property damage claim in a car accident.
So that language needs to be changed to defend instead of settle that claim?
On 9L2, no. It is consider and approve a resolution order to settle a claim. 9L1 is resolution order to defend the claim.
Okay.
9L2 is a different matter entirely.
Oh, it is a settlement.
How much is this claim we're settling?
The settlement is $6,139.94.
And it's for a property
damage claim to a rental car rented by the sheriff's office. We're settling with Enterprise Rental.
Is that settlement going to come out of the sheriff's budget?
I believe the resolution order asked for a funding source.
Sheriff's Department.
Yeah.
Risk Management has signed off on the resolution order. I do not know if they have a funding source on that or not.
Is it part of our property casualty insurance?
Traditionally, there's a deductible that's $1,000, and that gets charged to the affected department, and the remainder is covered by our insurance through Risk Management, is traditionally what would happen. I'm not sure about the details of this case, but that's our most common.
It should be the same because, essentially, Sheriff's Department had rented a vehicle from Enterprise. That was the vehicle involved in the wreck, and this is the property damage claim for that rental vehicle.
Okay.
Instead of having a damage waiver like when you have it, it comes back on your insurance if that's the case. So it should be treated the same as any other property
settle
damage.
It, but if there is a deductible, it comes from the sheriff's department.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, on page 10, item 9Q1.
And Judge, that's basically the
same thing
with the other one. Is we need to make sure that if we're going to allow this for them, we need to allow this for
the commissioners and
county employees as well.
Okay.
Right.
Is there a motion on 9Q1?
Move.
Why is this showing up? Is it not in their budget?
It is in their budget, Commissioner, because it's an item that's not the regular purchasing practices of the remainder of the county. It comes to the Commissioner's Court for approval. So Commissioner Nowak's request speaks to that same point. It's not something that we do for the entirety of the county.
I get it. But adult probation is not purely county. This is some state employees involved.
State probation is a hybrid for sure, Commissioner.
Yeah.
Under a lot of county, they're required to operate under county practices, normal county policy. And so since this is an exception and those would come to Commissioner's Court, as an exception it comes to Commissioner's Court.
I'd like to defer this. I don't know what it is or if it's something that's necessary.
It's been approved in past years. It's one of those items that we ask the departments to bring to you every year for renewal in case there's been a change in the outlook of the commissioner's court.
Is it strictly in-house training or is it?
I can't speak to that, Commissioner.
You want to just defer it and have them come back and talk about it next week?
Yeah, I'd like to defer this.
Okay. For item 9Q1. Commissioners, that's all the changes that I had on the consent.
Thank you.
All right, item 10. We have we'll get to that person. We'll allow citizens comment at the time of the agendaed item that they've requested to speak under. Item 11A, consider, discuss, and appoint members of the Commissioner's Court as a primary voting member to the Transportation Policy Council for HGAC, representing Montgomery County. Currently voting member is Commissioner Riley. His term ends December 31st, 2017.
I think Commissioner Riley did a great job.
Second.
Aye. Any questions or comments, Commissioner?
No. Not here.
All in favor? consider discussing appointing a member of the Commissioners Court as an alternate voting member to the alternate voting member of the Transportation Policy Council for HJC, representing Montgomery County. Currently, the alternate voting member is myself, term ending December 31st.
Second.
Saw that coming. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C, consider, discuss, and reappoint Jeff Johnson as the primary voting member to serve on the Technical Advisory Committee Council for the Houston-Galveston Area Council for the year of 2018, representing Montgomery County. He's currently our representative there now.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Consider, discuss, and reappoint Ross McCall as an alternate member to serve on the Technical Advisory Committee.
Move.
HGSC.
Second.
All in favor?
Didn't mean to cut you off, just thought we...
That's okay, I didn't want to read the whole thing anyway. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. 410th District Court. Judge.
Good morning, how are you?
Morning, great.
Okay, so as you are aware, I am the judge of the 410th District Court. I hear both general civil as well as family law matters. Judge Gilbert is the judge of the 418th District Court, which is a dedicated family law court. That court also has an associate judge, that's Judge Overstreet, who assists with their dockets. I am here today asking for you to approve and give authority to Judge Overstreet to additionally hear and serve under the 410th District Court with respect to family law matters. This would cost the county $0, it would increase court efficiency, and it would essentially make better use of an asset that's already in existence. For example, Judge Overstreet, if she were to finish her duties in the courtroom in the 418th District Court early one day, while in the 410th, everything's backed up and I have a family law matter waiting to be heard, Judge Overstreet would be able to assist with my docket. And essentially, those litigants would get into the courtroom more quickly.
I think it's great.
Move. Thank you.
Second.
Any questions or comments, Commissioner? All in favor?
Aye.
It's something that must be approved by the county.
Yes, sir. Under Chapter 201 of the Texas Family Code.
Thank you all very much. Great idea.
Great idea.
Do more of
efficiency.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Constable Precinct 1.
Merry Christmas, Judge and Commissioners.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
As you know, Harvey was devastating to the lake. And one thing for the last couple of years, from the wind and water, we've had our fuel system wiped out 2 years in a row. This last year, we lost over 800 gallons of fuel in the lake due to the location the temporary system's placed in. I've been visiting with the River Authority, and they're not real hip on putting a permanent location down close to the water. They want it to be above the 207 marker, which we've studied, evaluated, and even contacted several companies to try to come in and give us bids. And it's hard to get bids for an installation of this type because this is federally coordinated underground piping, pumps. We do have one firm bid that they finally came back and finished up, which would also give us a floating boat dock that we would be able to go in and fill our boats up in emergency situations in the lake. This dock would go up to 210, which would put it 3 foot under the normal level. So under emergency situations, drownings, rescues, our boats would have access to fuel 24/7. And as you know, our lake is growing and where our calls, late night calls, are increasing daily. Especially in the summertime. So it's become a 24/7 lake instead of what it used to be. So we definitely need the access to the fuel. This new system would give us probably, from what I've been told, 30 years of service, and we wouldn't have to worry about it because it would be up, dry, and secure. With all that said, we would like for you to consider and approve the purchase of a fuel system for Constable Precinct 1 Marine Division to include labor, electrician, 2,000-gallon fuel tank, the fencing, and a floating dock. Please name a funding source.
Captain, one quick question. Did this go out? You said it was hard to get bids. Did it go out in the formal bid process for this?
Oh, not in a formal bid process. We do have one formal bid. The other bid that was submitted, I couldn't get them back out to formalize that proposal. The difference in the two bids were $500. The company that we're presenting, which is Widener Enterprises, their bid was the one that was less. It was a $500 less.
That's who you selected?
Right.
And this did go through purchasing then? It did not.
No.
How did it, why did it not go through purchasing?
Well, we were doing a lot of research and just trying to put
I have a fuel system going in and purchasing handled the entire process.
We've talked to purchasing after the damage of it, and Widener had also has been furnishing us a temporary tank at no charge. So they were the ones that were really anxious on trying to make a formal proposal on it.
Well, being that this is over $50,000 and we have a purchasing department that's their job,
sure.
My recommendation would be for you to work with purchasing and go through the proper
More
channels
to
have this done.
More than happy to.
Gilbert, what's your take on this item?
Let's go back and send it through purchasing and get it done absolutely right so we meet statute and do what we're supposed to and bring it back.
Is there any insurance funding available that could be used?
Yes.
If the fuel system they had was
damaged?
I think
there's a few issues with this item. One is I think that we do have an insurance claim. I think risk management is working through that process as well as the purchasing, getting Gilbert involved in on this now that
there's
got to
be some
changed.
Property and casualty there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But do you know how much, Kevin?
The 74,604.58.
No, is the insurance risk management going to supply any of that from?
Oh, I don't know.
Property
I don't
and casualty.
No, I can't answer that.
We need some.
They're still working through that part of the claim.
Let's get with them in purchasing and bring this item back, Captain.
Okay.
If you would, please.
Be happy to.
Okay.
Thank
you. Great.
Thank you.
We'll defer item 13A. 14A, Constable Precinct 2. Chief, good morning.
Judge Gold, Commissioners.
Good morning.
We were supposed to come back up here to receive an award, which we were totally unaware of.
Oh, that was
regarding
the United Way.
Oh,
award.
Yeah.
Other than that, we have no business with the court today.
Okay, so defer, it says.
Yeah, there's a certification report for a couple $100 that's on the agenda. Just consider approving the equitable sharing agreement and certification report for 2017. It's a report that the sheriff's office currently does. It talks about if you receive a portion of forfeited funds, I think it's a couple $100. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at yours. But that's what this agenda item is.
So is there an agreement between the Sheriff's Department and the Constable's Office?
It's not between the Sheriff's Office. It has to do with forfeiture and federal funding. So
can we just defer it till next week?
We can defer it.
Yeah, defer that one.
And I'll get with you on it.
Let me see the backup on that.
I haven't seen it. I just know what this is because the Sheriff's has put it through before.
Okay, we'll defer that item. And
I think Sylvia has your award.
It's right over there. Is that his?
Maybe it on the table.
Yeah. Traveling trouble.
Thank y'all.
There you go. Oh, yes, she did. She, Linda Brown.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then Sylvia has.
You also won, what level award was it?
I don't know, but Sylvia has it.
Sylvia
has money for you.
Not
for me.
Thank you.
Constable Precinct 5. Good
morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Good morning.
We're asking today that you consider an approved field training officer stipend for Sergeant Ryan Johnson, Sergeant Ryan Simpson, Sergeant Jonathan Aldridge, Sergeant Lori Bagwell, and Mike Silvio with Constable Precinct 5. Now, Sergeant Lori Bagwell will be funded from Magnolia ISD. She's a sergeant over to schools. And since I didn't come to this during budget meetings, I'd like to just go ahead and fund it this time over with our overtime budget and then take on next year.
Move.
Can you just explain to us what they'll be doing to
training
the
all
FTO,
of our new officers?
How many employees do you have in your department?
We have 27.
27. So how many of them will be field training officers?
Four of them. Well, five of them. Four for patrol.
This is the first group of them that'll be doing
yes.
that?
Yes. We don't have any right now.
And Doty, do we have other constables with FTO stipends?
How much does this totally equate to?
It's $780 a person per year for the four deputies that I'll be funding out of my overtime. It'll be $3,120, and then Magnolia ISD will be funding the $780 out of their funds.
Second. Thank
okay.
you.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you. Guys, have a good day.
Thank you, guys.
Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here to have you consider, approve, and authorize Judge Doyle to execute fiscal year 2015, 2016, and 2017 home grant agreements between the county and Angel Reach. And I wanted to explain the Angel Reach project to you a little bit. Unfortunately, as the county's growing, we're having a growing problem in a specific sector, which is children who are aging out of foster care into homelessness. They've got no place to go, and they generally are not as well equipped as other 18-year-olds, if they are equipped at all, to go out and support themselves. So Angel Reach is an organization that takes care of those essentially still children but legally adults. And they have the Angel's Nest, which is a group home for single mothers who are still teenagers. And now they're asking to build some transitional housing, which will be small duplex units, to provide stable housing for them as they work through the program issues, get driver's license, GEDs, and all of that, and become independent. So it's sort of a stopgap measure so that they don't go under a bridge somewhere as soon as they leave someone's home. So my home grant's not very big, and when we want to do projects like this, we have to save up money. So that's why you've got three different fiscal years here. From fiscal 2015, we're putting in $313,562.75. From 16, we're putting in $338,223.75. And from fiscal year 2017, which is this year, $313,562.75, for a total of a little over $1 million. And that, we don't know how many units that will build yet, because it hasn't gone out for bid yet, but it's worked through all of its other processes and is ready to fly.
And where will it be built?
It's going to be built on 9th Street in Conroe. We've gone through the NIMBY process, mm-hmm. we've gone through all the environmental processes and everything, and it's ready to go.
Thank you. Move.
Second.
Second.
Comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. County Auditor 17A.
So we've been involved in an ERP selection committee for some time now, and we have been in contract negotiations with our preferred vendor. And while those aren't completed, one thing that we're seeing is there will be a need for space for the implementation team to work regularly over the course of probably about 24 to 26 months. There is some space available in this meeting, in this building on the third floor. It's some space that's not been utilized to this point. I did visit with Gilbert Halomo, our purchasing agent, who has experience with this type of implementation, as well as the consultant that we've retained to assist us through this process. That space seems very sufficient with just a very minimal amount of build-out. The build-out would be to put in walls that would create two conference rooms that could substitute as offices. We would need to put in some carpeting. We would not complete the ceiling in it, because if we did, we would have to do some HVAC work, and we're assured that the cooling system would be sufficient if we don't put in the ceiling tiles. And there's also the estimate also includes some desks that building maintenance would help build that include several workstations that are attached to each other to facilitate a better work environment for this type of project. Building maintenance did say that they have funds that are unexpended from a previous project where some funds were allocated, and with your authority, we could use those funds toward the $25 estimate and then sweep the remainder. The total funds that are unutilized are 20, let's see, $71,886.64.
Are they remodeling projects?
It is from a project for the whenever we moved courts at the OCA.
Judge, I'd kind of like to wait and see what the court, what action the court's going to take on the ERP system before we start building a room for them to operate in. And I've been on the third floor. You could easily throw some tables in there and run some cables and work just fine. I don't know that we need to put up walls and do anything more than provide a space if we even move forward with the ERP system.
I'm sure we're going to move forward with the ERP system. I just don't know exactly how that's going to look.
Or when.
Or when, but there is going to be some coordination necessary between departments, most certainly. Have y'all looked at options to just move into a temporary space, or do you think this is what's going to be required to adequately get the process taken care of?
We had rather considered this to be somewhat temporary with the minimal build-out effort. We talked about not putting down carpet, but we're a little concerned, especially since there are no ceiling tiles, about the noise level. It's one very large room with maybe as many as 20 people working in it at any given time.
You're not even talking about putting ceiling tiles in or anything.
Correct.
It's pretty temporary. Okay.
And so we thought the carpet would do things like help buffer the noise level when everyone's there at once with multiple meetings going on in the same giant space. It does, Commissioner, it does include a couple of conference rooms, so people could go in and hash through whatever problems there may be with perhaps some changes in process, which we anticipate, or mapping efforts. We could relook at that, but we hear from people who have been through the process that that is a pretty regular need.
One of the things I'd be willing to do is we have a conference room down in the North Star building, I mean down in this building in North Star. I think just, you know, between your conference room, HR's conference room,
risk management training
room.
We did look at some of those options, yes, sir.
The third floor as is, just move some tables in there. I would think we'd have sufficient space to handle it.
But is that something they could use throughout the project, or would they have to move in and out?
I'd let them use it just the whole time.
Phyllis, you have looked at that as an option?
We did look at options. There's also a conference room where in the area across the hall here on the fourth floor.
Right.
We did look at some other conference rooms. We didn't look at Commissioner Nowak's because I wasn't aware of that, but we did look at several in this building. What was brought up was the efficiency of being able to drag people into a room that's attached as opposed to going schedule an appointment and meet
and
on another
all
floor.
Over the building.
It was just a ease of getting projects done. If y'all's vote is to not build those conference rooms, certainly the project will still get done.
Is this something that could stay after the project's over? Is it temporary? I mean,
it's anticipated to be needed for a little in excess of 2 years. After that, those efforts would be dispersed. All of those efforts wouldn't be needed anymore, but some would. So you have things like training. There's a whole new way of doing. There will be a whole new way of doing business for a lot of things like performance appraisals, or employee evaluations, or creating purchase orders. All of that's going to need training, but we think that's going to go to the affected departments, not stay in this space.
Paul, how long do you think it will take to build this, to complete this build out?
About
2 weeks. How many?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. And how far away are we from making a decision on ERP?
A few weeks.
I mean, why don't we just wait until we decide what we're actually going to do and when? It's not going to take you long to get it built, and then we'll have a better idea.
It's no rush if you could look at and consider some of these other options. But if it's going to be a two-year plan, I don't want to be jumping around for 2 years. I'd rather have...
They need to have their own space, and if Paul's got the money, I don't really have any problem.
Well, don't wait for me then. Y'all just go ahead and
space
vote.
And
I mean...
All right, so is there a motion to defer or a motion to proceed with...
I move we proceed.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Just one.
One opposition. Motion carries 4-1.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
Now you don't have to wait.
18A, purchasing.
Thank you.
Gilbert.
Morning, Gilbert.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Our first item is to take all appropriate action to
award the McCaleb Road widening project for Precinct 2. And the low bidder there is R.C. Smith. Their bid price, including option, is $4,390,785.22.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The second contract to award is for legal advertising for various departments. We only had one bidder, and that was the Houston Chronicle Publishing Company, which is the Conroe newspaper, at $18 per column inch.
Seems kind of high to me. Maybe they could bring that down a little bit, Andy.
Move.
Second.
That is a real newspaper.
I'll give up some of my space.
We have a second.
Yeah, second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
And item B is to take all appropriate action to approve contracts with the following highly qualified providers. The first is for materials testing for the McCaleb Road widening project with Terracon at the price of $84,760, and this for Precinct 2.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next is surveying services for Rayford Road improvements with Amani Engineering, $68,040. This is a Precinct 3 project.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Carries.
And the last one is an engineering services agreement for Interstate Highway 45 at Woodlands Parkway and Robinson Road. Signalization, and this is with Brown and Gay Engineering, $546,036.55, and this is a Precinct 3 project.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
This is to approve agreements with the highly qualified providers. First is right-of-way appraisal services with Whitney and Associates for $137,900, and this is a Precinct 4 project.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next is right-of-way acquisition services for Old Houston Road with KDM acquisition services, and the total of this agreement is $352,400, and this is a Precinct 4 project.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
The next is to approve the following change orders. So change orders 2 and 3 with Angel Brothers totaling $66,809. This is a Precinct 3 project.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item E is to approve the Montgomery County Employee Benefits Plan and Trust 2018 Plan Year Renewal.
Move.
Questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right.
Then the last item for purchasing is to take all appropriate action to consider and approve the purchase of radio site replacement system for from Motorola Solutions, utilizing the Houston Galveston area contract for the sheriff's office.
What's the price?
$2 million. Hold on 1 second. $2,213,104.
And the funding source is we budgeted for that during the budget hearings?
No, sir. Most of that will be paid for with insurance because of the flood. And that's still in process as to what exactly that dollar amount is. This is to approve the agreement. I don't know how the funding is going to work.
That extended contract, wasn't it, Sheriff, for new radios? And part of their agreement was to move that tower. Is some of this funding in there?
It's an appreciation problem.
What, it's come to the microphone so people outside can hear.
I
Judge, Commissioners, this is for the replacement of the tower, radio tower site at the sewer treatment plant that was destroyed during the flooding. So the $2,213 is the replacement cost. The depreciated cost will be approximately 10%. We're looking at about 1.96 in insurance funding, leaves about $240,000 to $280,000.
We've been talking about this for a long time. We had budgeted this in a prior budget. At one point, we talked about using COs. We talked about a lot of different ways to have this funded. We kind of got lucky with the storm damage in it.
We didn't because of the depreciation. Some of the equipment that we planned to move got destroyed.
Yes, sir.
So that's where we got whacked.
But we were going to spend $1 million or more.
And that was in the prior agreement that y'all did approve.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all taken care of until Harvey took our good equipment and made it bad equipment, and then insurance paid a depreciated price. So we've worked with risk management and purchasing on all of this.
So where does this, Phyllis, how will you handle this if we don't have a funding source named?
Well,
we don't have a final dollar yet, so we would probably have to come back.
You would have to come back, and you've currently allocated a little over $1 million in capital project funding.
Okay. So we'll have enough to cover.
So it's possible that you would have enough, but that would need to come back for finalizing the details.
Well, we know it's a need. It's something that needs to be done, should have been done. So
it's got to be done.
We had a full system outage not long ago, and it wouldn't have gone out if that ring wouldn't have been completed. So it's
Sheriff, wasn't there part of that radio contract where they were going to help us move the tower?
That's still in process.
Is that included in part of this?
This is the same tower that got whacked. It's the same one that we're moving. We just lost a lot of the equipment in the radio room due to the flood.
Gotcha.
It was in the sewer treatment plant flood, so it was bad.
And I've been working with the city this week to get a time frame on when we might anticipate getting it moved.
I'd volunteer the county attorney to help you move the stuff out of the old tower that flooded.
There has been a site survey, and it was
Precinct
not a popular
three.
Day.
All right. Thank you. Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gilbert.
Okay. Commissioners, Precinct 4. Consider and take appropriate action to amend proclamation and resolution of Montgomery County declaring November 15th as Montgomery County Adoption Day, issued on November 14th. Agenda item 7B. Commissioner, I talked to BD about that. BD, would you like to talk a little bit about that item?
We had some
people that wanted to speak too, I think.
Yeah,
as well.
I'll tell you what, matter of fact, before we do that, BD, we do have one individual that was signed up to speak. Amy Hamrick signed up to speak.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. Thank you for letting me address you this morning. I am here to talk about the amendment to the Proclamation for Adoption Day. I am a resident and homeowner in Precinct 4, have been for about 9.5 years. Prior to that, I was living in Georgia, and I worked for a nonprofit who found adoptive homes for children in foster care. I am also an adoptee. I was adopted out of foster care as a baby, so this issue is near and dear to my heart. When working for the nonprofit is that these children, especially older children and teenagers who are looking at the prospect of aging out of foster care, do not care about the sexual orientation or the gender identity of their parents. They're looking for loving homes where they can be accepted for who they are, for all the challenges they have faced, and for people who will support them as they become adults and will have a family after they turn 18. We had many gay and lesbian families adopt out of foster care. Many of them adopted sibling sets out of the Houston area into Georgia because there were not homes for these sibling sets in the Houston area. We had families who had transgender parents adopt. All of these children were made known of these facts before they were placed and then before the adoption was finalized. We asked every single one of them, do you have a problem with the sexual orientation of this parent? Do you have a problem with the gender identity of this parent? Every single child said, I absolutely do not have a problem. This person is my parent. They love me. They have nurtured me. I want to be adopted into this family and have this person be my family. Nobody that we worked with was ever denied by a child for being an adoptive family because of their gender identity or their sexual orientation. I am asking you not to amend the proclamation. I am asking you not to take away and tell these children that you're not going to do everything possible to find permanent, adoptive, loving families for them. Thank you.
Ms. Hammer. Okay, BD, that was the only individual I'd signed up to speak.
Yes, Judge, I assume you want me to address whether we think there's any issues or legal issues with regard to amending, rescinding,
correct,
or changing the proclamation.
Correct.
It's hard to speak too much to that in open court because of the nature of legal proceedings and future legal proceedings. However, we can say that in the context of adoption, changing the proclamation or not changing the proclamation really has no effect because the county is not involved in that process. It raises issues and concerns of that if you change the, depending on how the, if you change the proclamation and depending on how it may be changed, that that change could be used in litigation down the road to show a public policy or a county policy that could then cause liability for the county depending upon the context and some type of discrimination suit. So that is our concern in general with amending the policy and especially with deleting just certain portions of that paragraph. I think it's the sixth recital to the paragraph.
If the person requesting that proclamation asked that it be changed, would that relieve any liability that the county has?
As far as relieving any liability, again, we currently don't see any liability for doing that. The concern is that by the commissioner's court taking a position regarding that, regarding some in the legal sense, discrimination, not adverse, but differentiation between various people identifying in certain classes, that in certain context down the line, that could be shown to be a county policy and could bolster some case down the line totally unrelated to adoptions. With regard to the thought that the court, you know, proclaimed that at the request of an agency or so, that it was if the agency makes the request to change it and proffers neutral language, it would alleviate that concern to some extent.
So if Terry Jaggers were to
but not all of it.
We're in a very litigious society.
You
passed a resolution that says this, and changing it, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder down the line. We don't know who will be judging that action down the line.
Okay. Thank you, B.
You're welcome.
So if Ms. Jaggers were to make that request as opposed to this court, do you feel like that would be a better situation?
In analysis, yes, it would be a better situation. Again, the background is that is relating to a request by agencies to encourage adoptions and to recognize adoptions on a National Adoption Day and making Adoption Day for Montgomery County on that particular day. And to the extent that's how it arose in the court, and the court was proclaiming what that agency wanted, then if the agency has changed its mind with regard to the wording of its own its requested proclamation, that would be a factor that would lessen any effect.
Okay. J.D., when this was approved, there were two separate proclamations, correct? There's one for the adoption day and one for the month or something. So
I believe that's correct.
The change today would only affect one of those two resolutions, correct?
I believe, yes. It's only noticed for the one on the adoption
day. So it wouldn't bring resolution
for the month.
For both.
Well, you know, this court doesn't have any standing in how the adoptions laws are written. That's all legislatively done.
Correct.
So if there's a real problem there, then you need to see your legislator. We can't affect that. While the language may not have been of the approval for many of the members of this court, myself included, we can't guide and direct what the state does. But, Ms. Jaggers, are you here to request a change in that resolution?
I do have something I'd like to say, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yes, ma'am, please.
Thank you.
Commissioner Doyle, Commissioners Clark, Riley, and Metter. The primary goals of Montgomery County's Adoption Day have not changed since I began leading Home for the Holidays community effort in 2005. The goals have mirrored the state and national goals, which have been and still are to number one, build collaboration among the foster care community that includes our county CPS agency, our local private adoption agencies, our courts, our law enforcement organizations, child advocates, along with partners from the private sector, to number two, raise awareness about our county's children in foster care awaiting adoption, and number three, to honor and celebrate those who have chosen to adopt. Our community collaboration has been recognized by the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services commissioner as among the best in Texas, and were even recognized among the best in the nation 2 years ago. Including among our among our local collaborative partners are dozens of pastors and faith-based ministry leaders, private child placing agencies, nonprofit organizations that work with our children and families every day, including Angel Reach and CASA. We have actually over 40 child placing or foster care stakeholders that are a part of Montgomery County's collaboration. These are both secular and faith-based. Lone Star College, Sam Houston State University, the City of Conroe, including the police, fire, and public works departments, the Sheriff's Department, and our Child Protective Services organization. Within this collaborative effort, representatives from each organization has represented to me their frustration that the proclamation itself became the focus rather than a celebration of children and families as it was intended. Anyone who has ever attended Home for the Holidays Adoption Day here in Montgomery County, and thank you for attending, knows that it is a wonderful collaborative event in which the entire focus and agenda is about celebrating and honoring the children and families. It is not political. It was never intended to be political. I apologize to them as I apologize to you, and I take full responsibility for my oversight in creating the political digression from the event and the children. It is with unanimous compassion, unity, and vision of the foster care community that I request my original proclamation be amended to reflect what we all agree is most important. That is that the proclamation and all that it represents would only reflect the three goals that we have set on this journey since 2005. They are, one, again, to build a community unity for foster care, to improve our foster care system. Two, to raise awareness of children in foster care needing adoption. And three, honoring those who are choosing to adopt. Therefore, I am requesting that the proclamation be amended to exclude the sixth whereas sentence that I had originally submitted and read as follows. Whereas children are the key to the state's future success, prosperity, and quality of life, and whereas all children and teens deserve a safe, loving family, yet there are 89 children and teens in Montgomery County who are waiting to be adopted, and whereas adoption creates supportive, loving families for children and teens, and whereas supportive families can help a teen or child overcome past traumatic experiences and reach their full potential, and whereas we must come together as a community to celebrate adoptive families and raise awareness about the number of children and teens who are still awaiting. And whereas there is always a need for parents who are willing to adopt siblings, older children, and young people with complex medical and behavioral needs. Whereas there are numerous individuals, nonprofit organizations, and the public and public servants who are dedicated to finding families for children and teens in foster care who are waiting to be adopted. Therefore, let it be proclaimed that Montgomery, that the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County does hereby proclaim November 15th, 2017, Montgomery County Adoption Day in Montgomery County, Texas. And the last thing I would like to add is, I have worked with hundreds of people and organizations within this community and all over the United States who have come together to help us take care of our foster families who lost everything, because if we didn't, we could have easily experienced the same foster care tsunami that New Orleans foster care system experienced after Katrina. The entire nation watched and came to help when we needed and asked. Nobody asked me about the qualifiers of the people they were serving. They just came in love and offered sacrifices of themselves. I want to take the time to say thank you to all of those people and organizations on behalf of Montgomery County. I also want to say thank you to the hundreds of people from all segments of our community that reached out. And when I say hundreds, I mean hundreds of people from all segments of this community who have reached out to me in love, in support, in unity, and in continued confidence. I am truly humbled. Thank you.
Move we accept the proclamation as amended.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Just very briefly, Terry, thank you for all that you do for the adoption and the needs of these children that need to be adopted. Thank you for allowing me for the last several years to be a part of that. I look forward to standing right next to you next year and doing the same thing.
Can I just say, it is awesome. You have never been to the Adoption Day in Montgomery County. It will change your life. It will change your perspective of what's important in this community. And what's important in this community, in my heart, is loving. And these children that we serve, that we make decisions in our community, deserve nothing less than our unity and our support for them. And that's about love.
Thank you, Terry, and I would echo those comments that it saddens me to see that the focus was taken off of the need of these kids and made for it. So, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries. All right, item 19A2.
Wait, this is not correct. It still says the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Jim, you just signed it again.
I trust Amy.
I was reading it this time.
Okay. 19A2, Commissioner.
Sorry. Consider and approve the transfer of $2,882 plus associated benefits from position 615-3404-1, superintendent to position 615-8347. Special Projects and Public Information Coordinator. There'll be no increase to the budget. I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. We will now recess our Commissioner's Court for Executive Session to Article 551071. Okay, let's bring the court back to order, please. Out of Executive Session, Commissioners, I would entertain a motion for a resolution and order authorizing litigation and special counsel agreement with Haley and Olson, P.C., Harrison, Davis, Stickley, Morrison, Jones, P.C., and Elliott and Little, special counsel.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, we deferred an item that was moved to the open agenda from the consent agenda on page 10. Item 9Q1 under adult probation, and Ron Leach is here to discuss that. If that's
morning,
good, y'all.
Hi, Ron.
Hi. The funds are used for two purposes. One, we require mandatory in-house training every month, and it's much more cost efficient for us to do it in-house than it is to send them out. and they must attend this training to maintain their certification. So
is
some of these
state,
funds are spent for snacks.
Is it state?
State pays for the trainings and the trainers and all. We just provide refreshments at the trainings. Second is we have a number of individuals on probation for sexual offenses, and they're so statutorily restricted on where they can work community service that they come to our location, our building, on Saturdays. Our staff go out and work them, and we maintain the grounds. We're on a schedule to keep the building painted. They do, they're around Judge Spike's office, JJP. And again, the money's used to provide refreshments, mainly water and just snacks for them.
I hate to say this, but it makes it sound worse. I mean, why do we have to feed them at all? I have no interest in spending county dollars on sex offenders.
We don't. It's just something that it's been done. And I mean, if that's the issue and you just want to provide
free
money for refreshments for training, we certainly can do that.
I think it's worse that you explained it personally.
That's how it is.
But I'm glad you told the truth. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but again, they must complete their community service.
But the bulk of it, though,
and we
is state required funding.
Training.
Right.
That you have to do, and we do it here to save money.
But you're feeding them.
I think it's a good idea.
We're not feeding them meals. And I know probably no difference to you, but it's just mainly water and snacks. But we don't like feed them lunch from McKenzie's or anything like that.
Tell them bring a sack lunch.
Again, we do it there. I mean, they do for lunch, but again, we're doing it there as a matter to protect the community on the sex offenders. They have to go work to community service somewhere, so they're doing it under our supervision. And there are special projects that we can go out and do, such roads where there's no churches, playgrounds, or anything where children gather. We do special projects with those guys also.
I mean, we do it on a much smaller scale, but, you know, at my facility, Recycle, we have the community service workers come, and I don't give them anything.
Yeah.
They're lucky I put them in a safety vest.
No, and I understand. Again, sex offenders couldn't come down there and work.
I know. I don't want them down there either.
Head out loud.
But there is funding, though, for some training.
Training costs are paid with state funds.
But do you provide?
It's a trade-off, it sounds to me like. I mean, and you're probably, in the long run, you're saving the county money or the state by having it here. And, you know, I mean, you can't just say, okay, come on, bring your water, bring your cooler or whatever.
Yeah. And I
get it.
The labor, they're there every Saturday, with the exception of, I think, Christmas weekend and Thanksgiving. They also, I mean, they do a number of things. When maintenance is over there doing big projects, they're there to provide the labor, you know, some of the labor for them.
Well, I can't vote to spend money on sex offenders. I'm sorry.
Some of this money is for items associated to training classes, and some of it's for your
community service restitution program.
Two different programs. So I'm kind of like Commissioner Nowak. I would have support the funding for the training classes.
Now let me tell you, I don't know if you guys, we used the placement center up in Willis,
right,
until they sold it for years.
Right.
I mean the hours you get from these people, I never had to ask them what they did. I mean they were there, they did something, and they had to finish up their probation there at that placement center. But I'm here to tell you, we got many, many thousands of hours of volunteer work from these guys. And, I mean, it was amazing tax saving to the taxpayer.
Well, I will add, too, that we have two staff out there each Saturday that are paid with state funds and not paid with county funds. So we are investing state funds in this program, too.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate all you do. I really do.
I move.
Second.
Second.
Questions or other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Opposed.
One opposed. Commissioner Clark, are you in favor?
Yeah.
Motion passes 4-1. Okay. I guess it's the citizens' comment on the agenda. Items not on today's agenda.
Water.
Signed up is Mr. Yawley.
I've already given my comment.
Anybody else that would like to address the court on not, Mr. Osola?
Bill O'Sullivan, Woodlands, Texas, Precinct 3. I wanted to address relative to find out a bit more about the benefits program. And right now we're in a big state of flux regarding health care in this country. Right now the tax bill has on it getting rid of the individual mandate. Well, the importance of the individual mandate is to force people who would otherwise not buy or need insurance, the invincibles, if you will, to buy it. And they're going to lose 6 million of them. So it's going to throw a lot of flux into the market. And historically, employee benefits at the government level have been always been very rich. So, and what we have seen happen is over time, governmental entities such as cities, such as Houston, have gotten themselves into big money crunch because of their benefit obligations. And I would like to see the county explore through attrition, hiring new people, but their benefit level is not going to be the same. Because as this county fills up, and again, there's a limit to how many people are going to move into Precinct 3 for its proximity to Houston. The further you get away, the fewer people you're going to get. You're going to go more out to the west. And you're going to find yourself with all these benefits for all these people, but the base isn't increasing because your population isn't increasing. And I would like you to start and do something preventative to explore what it would be to start giving different employee benefits through attrition. So as you hire new people on, and that's the way everybody solves this problem, is phase into it. And I looked at the renewal, which was really, I guess, a quote for benefits more than anything else. But I think you need to do a whole study on how you avoid getting yourself into the trap if you're not growing at the rate you were before. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Sullivan.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to address the court? Billy Walter. Come on. Good morning.
I got to eat lunch, so get on with it.
Well,
moving a little slow, Walter. What's going on?
Okay. My name's Walter Boyd. Judge, commissioners, or four commissioners anyway. O'Sullivan is absolutely right. You have no idea what the city of Houston has gotten himself into. They passed a bond issue to alleviate it a little bit, $1 billion bond issue. But these pensions and the police have just really, you got to watch it. They've got pensions that are out of their sky. And Don Hooper, I put that name out because I heard a great speech by him. If you want to ever get the scoop on the problems with Houston, you can get a hold of Don Hooper. Or you can get a hold of me, who I'll get a hold of Don Hooper. But, Commissioner Nowak, you have to go after. Do you have to do that about sex offenders? Don't you realize all these women think all of us are sex offenders? And, my God, they're coming out of the woodwork at everybody. And, Commissioner Nowak, you are so handsome. With your haircut?
I've heard that before.
Well, I tell you what.
Yeah, I feel
well, I wish there was a woman here to harass her, too. I just wanted to mention, Judge, about the Open Meetings Act. I heard some of that testimony. Rusty Hardin is a great lawyer, in my opinion. And another phase of those arguments is going to take place. But this open meetings law is applied with this quorum deal is the stupidest Democratic with a small d Democratic idea ever, and it's so stupid it really verges on unconstitutionality. Witness after witness were making that point, and I hope y'all are all clear to that. If somebody's against you for re-election, and I understand there is, get you on what's really right about it, and I'll back you up. I'm not taking part. I'm not taking positions, but well, maybe I will. I don't know. But Commissioner Clark, thank you. Oh, one other thing, Commissioner Nowak. I went over there with Jeannie at the community center yesterday, and that is so well run, and those people remember me. James, I saw James, who was in World War II, got shot down.
Absolutely.
You know James?
I do.
95
I know Mr.
years
Brown.
Old.
He's amazing.
And he's been, and the bingo was so terrifying. I'm surprised people didn't have heart attacks. It's the tension is just unbelievable. We're waiting. So you need to get some medical thing ready, Commissioner Noah.
Thank you for your comment. We appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. Is there anyone else that would like to address the court? Just a couple of quick comments. For those of you that sent text and phone calls about the passing of my father-in-law, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
I understand.
Much appreciated. There will be a memorial service for him tomorrow night at the Lakeside Room at April Sound. So if anybody that would like to come, you're more than welcome. We'd love to have you. So, and just another quick note, just on our retirement plan, we are funded at 89%. Commissioners, something we should be really proud of. So, any other comments?
I want to remind people that this Saturday is when they lay the wreaths on the veterans' graves at the Veterans Cemetery. It's 11 a.m. in the morning. You can park anytime from 9 o'clock on up in Greens Point. They have people watching cars, and they have shuttle buses to take you over there. It's particularly unique. Last year, they laid 55,000 wreaths. And it's an amazing transformation, and there's kids, scouts, JROTC, all involved, and it's very worthwhile. It's a good way to say thank you.
Thank you, Bill,
thank you, Bill,
for
that reminder.
That. Thank you. All right, with that, we are adjourned.